Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hello? You know, I have a homeless bike update. I have a very disappointed in one of our fans. Well, that story about you can't kick a homeless guy off a bike. If you remember, I was in the market trying to buy a bicycle, and a homeless man was on a bike very similar to what I was trying to buy.
A very nice bike.
A very nice bike. Literally like a $6,000 bike. And offered to sell it to me, at which point I was very rude and told the guy that he was a terrible human being. F that guy. And he stole that bike. Well, fast forward, I had a listener who had DM'd me on Twitter and was asking me, said, hey, I'm looking at getting a bike. You know, what kind of bike should I get? Told me what he was looking for. So I was like, oh, here's a couple, you know, like this is kind of what I would get. You're looking for a commuter bike right here. And then he texts me back like a couple weeks later and he goes, hey, FYI, I bought one of those bikes. And I thought that it would probably go for like $500-$600. And he goes, yeah, he goes, I bought it off a guy on Craigslist. He goes, I'm pretty sure it was stolen. It was like $90. And I was like, you son of a bitch. And he goes, yeah, I didn't have the fortitude to not buy it. It's buying stolen bicycles.
Yeah, that's a lack of morals.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I knew it was stolen. He goes, I looked him up and he goes, they were all going for like, you know, $600-$800. This guy was offering $100. I talked him down to like 90. And I was like, oh my gosh. He's like, I know it was stolen, but he goes, it's a really nice bike. I'm like, you son of a gun. Tried to provide an example for people and our listeners out there buying stolen property.
Instead, you showed him an opportunity.
I did show him an opportunity.
Well, not everyone can have our level of heroism. I was about to say heroism.
Well, Rob's known for his moral compass.
That's
absolutely
right.
Well, it is a tough situation. Like, if you're looking to buy something and,
well known,
and you know it's such a sweet deal, but you know it's stolen, you know, that's a tough, you know, you're like, oh, man, well, I didn't steal it, but I'm going to buy it.
$90. Why doesn't the guy sell it for way more?
I don't think the guy had any idea that it was, you know. I think when you steal a bicycle and you're just like
stolen thief?
Yeah, I think you're
puts it on Craigslist for $90?
That guy's looking for cash as soon as he can get it.
No, I understand, yeah. But there's two things here. One, put it on there for way more. Nobody will know it's stolen.
That's true. But then,
and you'll make more money.
Problem is that, like, for bikes, like, I bought and sold several bicycles. Those are not things that sell very quickly. If you want to get rid of it, you need to price it very aggressively. Now, I will say $100 is very, very aggressive.
I mean, that's like red flag.
That's
all over
red flag. But apparently there's people out there that don't care, including this listener who I advised on what to buy. He jumped all over it. And then still talk the guy down for $10. He's like, how about 90?
It's like when you bought that stolen vacuum.
I did buy a stolen vacuum.
So you're no better than that guy.
Although, to be fair, I don't know that I bought a stolen vacuum. I just bought one out of the back
of
a guy's van.
Well, that guy doesn't know either, but I'm pretty sure.
Oh, he knows.
Well, you knew too.
He knows. I will never forget when I met the guy and he opened up his van and he just had like 12 vacuums in the box sitting there. I was like, oh my gosh. But in that moment, you know, I'd already committed to the vacuum purchase. I needed the vacuum. What's a good deal? Dyson vacuums are expensive.
So do women talk more than men? Way back in 2007, how old were you in 2007?
2007? Oh, I was in my 20s. 29?
The University of Arizona put together a large study that refuted the claim that women are more talkative than men.
Mm-hmm.
They found that men and women speak roughly the same number of words per day.
Oh.
Roughly 16,000 words per day.
I'm guessing most of those words from men are talking down to other women, but...
Wow. Well, there's been a new, larger follow-up to that study that paints a more nuanced picture, Jace.
Oh, talk to me.
It suggests that women may be the chattier gender, but only during a certain period of life.
Hmm. I'm guessing that's not when they get old. Are we talking like,
adolescence? So they found no significant differences in men and women, number of words used between the ages of 10 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
No significant difference.
Yeah.
The ages of 18 to 24. No significant difference.
Mm-hmm.
And 65 and up. No significant difference.
Oh.
The difference of about 3,000 or more words per day
mm-hmm.
is from the ages of 25 to 64.
Huh. I would have thought it'd be kids, because having raised two little girls, there is nothing more talkative on the planet than like a six-year-old girl. I mean, it is non...
Just doesn't stop.
Stop.
Well, they didn't study... So there was nobody before 10. Like I said, yeah. 10 to 17 was the first group. Yeah. So,
I had the one son, and then we had the two daughters. But I've been around a bunch of their friends, and I'm telling you, little boys, I mean, they're just out doing little boy crap. But little girls, they will ask you a million questions, and if you ever want to beat your head into a wall, just sit down and ask a little girl, like, what's her favorite movie, and she will give you a line-by-line summation of her favorite movie.
And then?
Yeah.
And then this guy? And then the princess?
Yeah.
And I didn't understand why.
And you just sit there and you're like, oh my God. But yeah, I guess, so really, I would have thought it would have skewed younger. So it's in the sweet spot of getting old.
The research also discovered that people in general might be becoming less talkative.
I can see that because of just social media and text and all
digital
that.
Digital communication.
Yeah.
We don't need to talk. I don't need to talk. Text me.
Well, I just think that's in general. Again, go ask a young person to have a conversation with someone. Their anxiety goes through the freaking roof. They can't communicate.
So... you should know that during the ages, if your wife or girlfriend is between the age of 25 and 64, she is speaking, on average, about 3,000 more words per day than you.
Does your wife ever just want to talk to you because you guys should talk? Like that? There's no...
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, she'll just be like...
She doesn't... I don't know how it is in your house, but I can tell you in my house, it does not matter when my wife wants to talk or what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
No.
What matters is we talk.
Yeah.
And we talk.
Yeah. I'll be sitting there and she'll just look at me and she'll be like, say something. And I'll be like, huh? And she's like, I don't know. We let's talk. And I'm like, about what? She's like, anything. And I'm like, that throws me for a loop.
Yeah. So it has to be, get provoking conversation out of nothing is interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't get that. She just has something to say, and she says it, and it doesn't matter if I'm listening to something, if I'm on the... it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
I could be working.
Well,
technically, our work is like sitting on the couch prepping,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't care.
It's award-winning show prep.
Yeah.
That's right. I've won awards for it. She doesn't care.
No.
Well, she wants to talk.
Oh, that happens, too. I was... it was on Super Bowl Sunday. I was listening to a podcast sitting in my chair, and... it was the morning I was farting around on a video game, and she started talking to me, and of course, I didn't really hear it, and I got in trouble.
Yeah.
And I was like...
You can't do that, because it looks like you're ignoring.
But I was like, I'm doing two things. I'm playing this game, you can see that I have my phone next to me, and you can hear the podcast that I'm listening to, and yet you expect me to be able to listen to you. I'm like, it's a bridge too far.
She doesn't expect you to be able to listen to her, she expects you to shut off the podcast and listen to her. Yeah. So you don't have to do both.
Maybe shut off the video game, too.
You only have to do one.
Yeah.
And it's listen to me.
That's true.
That's what she expects.
And but my ones that I struggle with are the, and I'm telling you, I'll just be sitting on the couch for no rhyme reason, 9 o'clock at night, just sitting there, and she'll just scoot over next to me, get real close, and I'm like, are you all right? And she'll just be like, tell me something. And I never know. I'm like, she's like, you talk all the time. And I'm like,
that's true. We do talk all the time.
And then I'm like, I don't know what.
Do you find you have less to say as you get older?
Because
I do.
Yeah. Well, and I don't like, and we've talked about this, I don't like explaining news. There's nothing that jams me up more than, hey, did you hear about such and such? And I'm like, yeah, we talked about it. And then she just looks at me with like this weird blank expression as if I'm about to then have to go into it. And I'm like, do I really have? And she's like, you explain it to your audience. I'm like, well, yeah, but I don't.
And then when you say, honey, our show's available on podcast if you'd like to listen.
Boy, that'd be condescending.
You know, I got this one the other day. So I was, because the audiobooks. So she'll be like, oh, what are you listening to? And I'm like, oh, it's called like, it was like 6 minutes to midnight or whatever. And she's like, what's that? And I'm like, oh, it's a book on the Cuban Missile Crisis. What's the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Is she too young for the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Well, I think everyone's too young for the Cuban Missile Crisis. But well, that and she, you know.
I know what it is. And I'm 50.
Yeah.
49.
So.
She's, well, I don't want to.
And then I had to. And
she's 25.
And so then I do the. Well, it was a thing, and, you know, and I give a brief synopsis, and then, like, I'll stop. And then I eventually get it doesn't matter. It's a long thing, and, you know, you can look it up. And she'd be like, why? Why can't you tell me about it? Because I don't, how on earth am I going to explain the Cuban Missile Crisis in less than, like, it's too much. It's too much.
The other thing that my wife does is that she'll know that she's out of the loop on something that's happened. Not, like, more of a like a pop culture thing that, you know, she had no idea of who the Hawk Tua girl was.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And so something like this will come up and she's like, well, what's that? And I'll start to explain it and I'll get to a point where it's very clear she no longer has interest and wish she hadn't asked. And it's like, okay, when are you going to shut up? I'm like, you asked about this.
Yeah, I'm trying to explain it to you thoroughly. So
and then
you
she's
know.
Like, yeah, there's a reason I didn't want to know. I'm like, okay.
Bitch.
Yeah. My usual response is it doesn't matter, and nothing pisses her off more than when I tell her it doesn't matter.
How about go look it up?
She says that's what I'm there for.
You're her Google?
I am just there to explain things.
Here's a guy on the text line says, I fear quiet moments around the house because then my wife will say, so what do you want to talk about? But of course, I always have the wrong topic. Things like, how should I get you out of those clothes are non-starters. I don't like that. Here's another one says, I've got a friend who wants to be on the phone all the time and discuss whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, dude, text me. I'm busy.
Yeah. See, and I don't mind. And I think that's the part that jams her up is I don't mind chatting. No problem. But forcing.
Something of substance, perhaps?
Well, yeah.
It's almost like telling a comedian, like, say something funny.
Yes.
It's not that you can't converse, but just being prompted to do it from a standstill on whatever.
And do I speak for a lot of men when I say, if there's nothing to talk about, why are we talking?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
It's not like we have to talk.
No.
Let's just hang.
Again, exactly.
Why are we filling... it's just hollow words. Like, who cares?
Exactly.
If we've got... like, I don't know. I'm usually pretty succinct with what I have to tell her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, things like, you know, important conversations or whatever. I'm usually succinct about it. She's like, well, you know, she's a therapist.
Yeah.
So she's always like, well, how are you feeling? Tell me more. Like, no, I just told you everything I needed to tell you. All in three sentences.
Then you're done.
I'm going to go hit balls.
Someone says, careful, guys. My wife's in the car with me. You're getting in trouble. Yeah. So if you're driving around with your husband right now, know that he's sitting there being like, oh, boy.
Well, I mean... he loves you. He's married to you.
Yeah.
Baby.
What's up, Sugar Tees? You're doing great.
We don't need to talk all the time about nothing.
Yeah.
Do you ever get the one where you go somewhere or you do something and then you get back and they're like, what are you going to tell me about da 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 da? I'm like, well, sure. Are you going to ask about it? Does that ever happen?
No.
Like I'll go out to dinner with friends or something like that. Friends I haven't seen in a while and I'll come back.
Yeah.
And I'll just be kind of going about my business and like my wife will be like, so are you going to tell me about dinner? Yeah. And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. What do you want to know? Like, do you want to ask me about dinner?
Yeah.
See, to them, Buckley, it's really common to just talk about the dinner.
Yes.
They just want to tell you what they had. You know.
I so understand where you're coming from.
But to men, we don't, like, why do you need to know about the, like, there's no.
Or if you want to know something, then ask me a specific question.
Hey, what did you have?
Or like, you know, who did you sit next to and who did you chat with tonight? I mean, whatever.
I also get this one a lot. I don't know if you're familiar with this move, but this one happens quite a bit, too. Hey, what happened with so-and-so's wife? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Oh, we didn't talk about it. What do you mean you didn't talk about it? I didn't talk about it.
I bet you guys both get this one. You go out golfing with a friend and you're out there for 4 hours over 18 holes. And then you get back and they're like, what'd you guys talk about? And you're like, nothing. I mean, I don't know. We golfed. We kind of chit-chatted. Like, you didn't find out how such and such kid or wife or job was going? I'm like, I don't know, man.
I've gotten that one a lot. Hey, how's your so-and-so? I don't know.
Didn't ask him.
But he shot 74.
You didn't ask him how his wife was? Well, I mean, we talked. You know, he brought her up at some point in time.
We don't talk about crap like that. We talk about sports and stuff, man.
That is the, and that's just, those are differences. And by the way, no one's right, no one's wrong. It's just the,
we're right.
There's just differences in,
yeah, it's just different.
Yeah, it's just different.
And those of us that stay happily married for a long time,
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What do I want to say? We
just learn how to navigate
we've
those
learned,
waters.
That's right. We can row that boat.
And it's upon her to also realize that at this point, she understands that I will have no details that she wants. Like, she'll be like, when are you leaving? Like, there's a trip coming up or something. Hey, when are you guys leaving? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. We'll figure it out. What hotel are you staying at? Couldn't tell you. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. My buddy booked it. And you don't have that information?
This happens to me. When I went down to the Rose Bowl for the day, she wanted to know about all the details. Where are your seats? What? I mean, I'm going to get down there, and I'm going to figure it out. I don't know.
The biggest one that I ever got was Dusty invited me last year to the crab feed. There's a crab feed, and it turns out it's like in basically the Oregon-Idaho border. It's
nowhere
like
near an ocean.
No. But I just assumed it was a crab feed, and it was like 5 hours away. I thought we were going to the Oregon coast. And she called me like 3.5 hours into the trip. And she's like, where are you at? And I'm like, I don't know. We just pulled over to some casino. And she's like, what's the casino? And I told her and she goes, what? That is the exact opposite of the coast. And I'm like, yeah, it turns out we're not going to the coast. I thought she was going to, if she could have stabbed me in the eye through the phone, she would have. Well, and she's like, you didn't know where you were going? I'm like, I assumed the coast. Turns out.
Is this because she's worried that you're deceiving her?
I don't know. I think at this point she realizes that there is no deceiving. I just don't know.
I also think it's jarring to the women that we don't know, like, that we could go about something like that and not have a care that we're going east versus west.
Yeah, they don't get that.
She cannot process that I am getting in a car or getting on an airplane and I am not aware of the hotel or any information. I'm just getting on there trusting that wherever we're going is where we're supposed to be going. And it pisses her off so much because she cannot process it. Where I'm like, I don't know. I'm not in charge of it. Someone else is driving the van. I'm just in the back heading this way.
Are you guys? One more thing here. Are you as shocked and almost impressed with the level of detail to which your wife thinks about things?
Oh, it's incredible.
Much as
I am.
It's like, I cannot believe how much my wife thinks about every little thing.
Yes.
Regarding, I don't know, small example, what she's going to put in her bag on her trip.
100%.
She thinks about everything. And I just, that is so bizarre to me because I do not think like that at all.
Yeah. My wife will start packing for a trip like 3 days beforehand to make sure that everything is
have
like
everything.
Out. And I'm like, she's like, well, when it gets here, I'll just be ready to go. And I'm like, I'll throw all my stuff in the bag 60 minutes before I need to leave.
Right. And we'll think about, we'll inevitably forget something, but we'll think about, okay, here's what I need. What's the weather like? That's about it.
Anything I need, I can buy at the place that I'm going to.
And then she'll be like, well, this is what... So she'll have everything. Like, I'll be on the trip, and then I'll be like, hey, do you have any fingernail clippers? She'll be like, aha! See? This is why I'm so prepared, because you're not. Like, that's not being prepared, is it?
Well, the anxiety level that exists...
I'll just go buy some.
Every now and then, she will give me a glimpse inside of her thought process, and I am terrified of...
What does that mean?
Well...
Tell us more about that.
She has a lot of anxiety. She worries a lot. And she claims that I worry about nothing, which is partially true.
It's a good life. A key to a good life is worrying about far less than you need to.
Yes.
My wife is frequently upset that there's so little on my radar.
Yes.
She's like, you have no idea, like, how burdened I am by this, like, mental load. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to take some of it from you, but, like, that stuff that you're always thinking about, I am not. Yeah. So I don't know how to make that happen.
My 7-iron, I just can't hit it straight.
So, yeah. Once in a while, she will... let me in on what she's really, the deep dive into what she's thinking about. And I'll just sit there with a look on my face like, let's never talk about this again. Because it is such a broad, to say it casts a wide net of things to worry about, that does a disservice to wide nets. It's like a West Coast of worry. And everything from massive things like death to the world's small, they all fit under one umbrella, and it goes on in her head
all the time.
All the time.
She never stops thinking.
Never stops. Ever. Whatsoever. And it's like,
that sounds rough.
And I'm like, this is.
I'm like, no wonder you're exhausted at the end of the day. You've been thinking about this stuff nonstop.
Yeah, you know how you don't have anxiety? Don't think about that stuff.
I also like this one.
I should be a therapist.
I also like this one, too. Like, my son was home a while back. He came down for a long weekend, and we were hanging out. And it was, you ever one of those with your son where you just end up, like, you pour a couple bourbons or whatever, and you sit down and talk. And so it got to be, like, 11:30 at night, and my gal had to wake up in the morning for work. We had Monday off. I think we had a duck game or something. And so she's like, I got to go to bed. And we're like, all right, we'll see you later. She goes to bed. Me and my boy ended up killing a bottle, and we were hanging out. So I didn't come to bed until like 3 in the morning, 2:30, 3 in the morning. We stayed up a lot. And we were just kind of chatting. And I go walking into the bedroom, and guess who's up? And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, I just couldn't sleep. And I was like, what? The fear of missing out. She wanted to be a part of that. And I'm like, then why didn't you just downstairs?
So the FOMO. She's FOMO.
FOMO.
Wow.
Huge FOMO. She cannot sleep.
Up there in the room waiting because she might have missed something?
Yeah. And so I'm like, did you sleep? She goes, I don't know. She goes, I keep waking up like every like 20 minutes. She goes, but I didn't want to go downstairs because then I knew I wouldn't sleep. I'm like, you're not going to sleep anyways. And I'm like, what did you think she was talking about? And that was the problem. When I said, what do you think we're talking about? The amount of topics that she thought that we could possibly be discussing.
A lot on the table, huh?
Lot on the table. And then I actually told her what we talked about, and she was like, oh. It's like, you didn't miss out on a damn thing. Oh. But that will happen. She cannot sleep for fear that something is going down and she should be a part of it. But she will try to force herself to sleep. It's unbelievable.
Wild.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, ladies. There's a little segment for you. Somebody texted and said, now my wife's worried about me listening to this show. Way to go, guys.
YouTube chats today at the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
No.
It's just
I'm not
though.
Hating anything. It's
like,
just
how do people interpret it that way?
It's just a Mars-Venus thing.
It's just a bunch of dudes talking about being dudes.
Yeah.
And dumb bros.
I don't hate. Believe me, there's probably a million things that she looks at me and is like, what a dumbass. But
well, yeah, I mean, I think all of these things we're talking about are why women are the superior species.
Yes.
Like, I can't think of all the detail that, goes through her head.
No.
She's better than I am.
Yeah.
Still, I'd rather just worry about my 7-iron.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Mine is like, what am I going to eat for lunch? I think about my lunch a lot.
Yeah, I'm think about what I'm going to drink.
I'm like,
what am I going to have tonight?
Hey, that is an important question.
What am I in the mood for?
I guarantee you know what I'm going to think about during this break? God, maybe it's a Black Label sort of
get
night.
Get some whiskey out. yeah. Maybe I'll hit the scotch. Yeah. And then I get all excited.
Yeah. I think about lunch a lot. Like, I plan my day. I'm like, oh, what am I do for lunch? Lunch is a money meal for me.
All right, we got to run. Coming up next, what is coming up next? God, that was a long... Are we... That was a long...
Year break behind.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Let's talk about Red, White, and Blue Land. Are you ready for it?
No.
Because I am.
No, I'm not.
We're going. That's next on The Fan.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.